JC Corcoran Podcast.
Ted Bundy got lots of dates. I wonder what I'm doing wrong. I don't pretend to understand women's little quirks. Just one thing I know for sure: chicks dig jerks. Yeah. Well, if I meet one more single mom whose true love is up and gone, tells me on her trailer porch about that man still carries a torch. Sure, he came home drunk each night, beat the kids and her in a fight. But man, she loves him so, it's so hard to let him go. Oh. Well, I don't pretend to understand women's little quirks. Just one thing I know for sure: chicks dig jerks. Well, I'm sure there's some out there can relate, particularly young men without a date. See some jerk, some fine, fine babe go driving away. Ow. Is that a new bruise you got on you? What does it say, that he loves you? Sure, he beats you, but afterwards he cries, oh, baby, I could die. Honey, I don't think that's nothing to be proud of. I think it's called alcoholism. I don't think you should move away. Stay with him till you're in your grave. And true love, that's not enough, I know for sure. You need someone to throw you through the door. Well, I don't pretend to understand women's little quirks. Just one thing I know for sure: chicks dig jerks. Oh. Chicks dig jerks, so true. Tell you, man, be mean to a man, they'll never leave you then. Cause chicks dig jerks. Just ignore them, act like they're not there. Man, you're gonna be pulling chicks out of your hair. They love that. Like you don't care. Oh, look at them everywhere. They come running. Woo! Tired of being a good guy. Such a lonely life. I'm gonna be a jerk. Yeah, that's right. I'm gonna step on lots of toes. Woo! Girl's gonna go crazy for that guy. Baby, I'm gonna act like I don't even know you. Not gonna return one of your calls. Oh, I hear her. She's already at the door, man. She's intrigued by my indifference. Woo, I'm a jerk and it's working out.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before. It's like deja vu all over
Friday, February 24th, 2023. 34 days remaining until it's opening day. We believe in baseball. You're at jconline.com. How you doing, kids? Weekend upon us and everybody frozen solid in place. God, it's like talking about Indianapolis this morning. Indianapolis was 68 yesterday, 28 this morning. But it feels a little warmer in St. Louis because of the Red Hot Battle Hawks! I'm getting suckered into this. You know, the play is sloppy. The kicking game, despite the fact that, what was it, a 44-yarder last night, won the game 20-18. The kicking is pretty sloppy. Very small crowd in Seattle. But I'm telling you, somehow, even with all of the deficiencies, it's just fun enough to hold my attention. And everybody loves a winner, and the Battle Hawks are 2-0, and so why not have some fun with it? All right, back to the weather. Snow, ice, and cold in the upper Midwest. Southeast, hot. 11 o'clock yesterday morning was already 83 degrees in Central Florida. There are blizzard warnings in Los Angeles. Blizzard warnings. It's snowing up at the Hollywood sign, but there's no climate change. This Kim Gardner thing just keeps getting more and more interesting because she says now, and this has been backed up with documentation, she says she tried to get this kid's bail revoked 3 times, and she's got documentation. They got people to back it up. She's basically saying, don't yell at me. Don't yell at me. This was this one. Maybe some other of these were my fault, but this one wasn't. And there seems to be documentation to back her up. I'm no fan of Kim Gardner, but she may be right on this one. And then you got Alex Murda. Oh, boy. You know, I'm not the kind of person that sits in front of the TV and watches this stuff, but I did yesterday because, well, I mean, for obvious reasons. Whenever you have the murder suspect actually willing to testify, well, it starts to get very interesting. And people who were in the courtroom yesterday said the same thing. They're like, you could hear a pin drop in that place. And for the first time, I started thinking to myself, wait a minute now. There's cracks in this prosecution. Up until now, I just assumed he did it. And then, you know, but again, you're talking about the legal system here. So what you have to do is you have to produce evidence, you know, that whole beyond a shadow of a doubt thing. I think there's lots of shadows of doubt right now. Although the cross-examination, they sliced him up pretty good. But here's the thing. And this happens in courts all the time. I'm not sure people are really aware of this. But you have situations all the time where they interview the jurors after the trial where there's been an acquittal. And they say, so you don't think he did it? He goes, no, actually, I do think he did it. But the prosecution didn't prove its case. And I'm starting to think you might have one of those situations. I think it's possible this guy is going to walk while everybody following the case intently still believes he did it. I don't know. Got me. I like Joe Biden. I think he's a good man. Anything is better than what we had for the previous 4 years. I like Pete Buttigieg. I think he's got just, you know, politician written all over him. And I think he's going to be president someday. That having been said, they fucked up this Ohio train derailment thing. They were slow to respond, and the response was finally sort of tepid, and I think they blew it. Don Lemon's return to CNN produced a double-digit ratings bump. I guess everybody just wanted to tune in and find out what was going to happen. After the podcast yesterday and the social media postings telling people that I had been to the Villages for the very first time, a lot of people volunteering their own stories, and they're all bad. There's this pineapple and this loofah thing. So you move to the Villages just outside of Orlando, Florida, and then you say, well, we're here. Let's start getting some action, honey. And in fact, here's the loofah code when you're visiting the Villages, which claims it's Florida's friendliest hometown, which is just a fancy way of saying herpes. Okay, so here's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to hang a loofah out of your house. A white one means you're a novice or a beginner. But the fact that you're hanging a loofah out there means that you're becoming curious about this whole situation. Otherwise, you don't have anything. hanging in front of your house, okay? But if you're hanging a white one, it says, well, I'm a beginner, so please be gentle with me. A purple one says you're a voyeur and you like to watch. A pink one says, let's see, people who like to do it with others in the room. A blue loofah means the lowest level of full swap, those who can play well with others. The hell is that? Yellow, mid-level swap for those who want to have fun but still are nervous. A black loofah means it's a full swap, those who say, what the hell, let's just throw down. And a teal loofah means you're bisexual and you want to increase your dating chances. Or as George Carlin said, can you imagine being bisexual and wanting to fuck everybody? It is interesting also that nobody's come along trying to stop any of this. You know why? Because the people who generally run around trying to stop things are older people, and they're all the ones who are living in the villages doing all this stuff. The usual complainers are busy. Oh, my God. Oh, and speaking of professional complainers, Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime performance only resulted in 103 complaints to the FCC. Well, that seems pretty low, especially given what seemed like a massive media outrage. Not surprisingly, those who did complain thought the performance and the song lyrics were too sexual. One person wrote, I don't care what somebody worships, but children shouldn't be exposed to pornography. As an adult, I don't wish to see it. Where has decency gone? How about respect for others and self? Thanks, Betty. And another quote, this year's halftime show was so indecent, I had to turn the TV off because of the pornographic content. Rihanna didn't do a lot of dancing herself, but she was pregnant, you know, so that's the reason why. But at least one person didn't like what they saw from her. Here's the quote. She spread her butt cheeks at the crack. She rubbed her pants where her labia were three times. Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, wardrobe malfunction in 04 generated 540,000 complaints. So it's possible that people are just like, yeah, what's the point? All right. On this day back in 1989, I was in Los Angeles interviewing the former Mrs. Bruce Springsteen. And Julianne Phillips was in a Blake Edwards movie, and I'll get to him in a minute. But they said no questions about Springsteen, which is what they always do. You know, you're doing these movie junkets and these interviews, and they're like, don't ask Priscilla questions about Elvis. But see, I always figure out a way to back into it. I mean, you can sit there and go, hi, Priscilla, what about Elvis? And then you get thrown out. But there's ways to back into it to get them to talk about stuff like this without violating the request of the handlers and the producers to not ask questions about that stuff. But she was like, look, I don't care. People are going to say what they're going to say. They're going to believe what they're going to believe. They weren't there. I was. That's the end. She was a very pretty, very engaging woman. That was the movie where I got to interview John Ritter, too, and he was just great. He was so good. And there's a scene in the movie. This movie is called Skin Deep, but it wasn't a particularly good movie. But there were some really, really funny scenes in it. And, of course, John Ritter in Sling Blade. My God, he was amazing in that movie. And again, this movie Skin Deep back in 89 was directed by Blake Edwards of Pink Panther theme. And I walked in and I sat down. He went, St. Louis, huh? And I said, yeah. He said, when I was, I think it was like 15 or something, his family was living in California, but they sent him to some sort of boarding school. I don't know if it was a boarding school or a military school or some sort of combination of the two. And it was up somewhere near Elsa, Illinois. Now, I can't imagine what that would have been. I mean, there must be something up there that I don't know about. But anyhow, there was some sort of a boarding/military school. He got sent there by his family, hated it so much that he jumped the wall and then hitchhiked all the way back to California. And he was just a kid. Interesting way to start an interview, Blake. I was interviewing Richard Gere in Los Angeles on this day back in 1996, along with Edward Norton. The movie was Primal Fear. Pretty good movie and an introduction to the world of Edward Norton. Back then, a complete unknown at the time. Saw Randy Newman at the Sheldon on tomorrow's date in 2011. Very good and very funny. You know, when you go see Randy Newman, half the concert is him joking between songs. It's really, really funny. Back in 1979, this is why you always say you never know who's listening. And of course, now it's completely different because of streaming and the World Wide Web and all that sort of stuff. But in 1979, none of that stuff existed. So there were stories of people who were just sitting there somewhere like in Grand Rapids, Michigan, doing a radio show. And when the show is over, the phone rings and it's, "Hi, my name is Tom Daniels. I'm with WLPX in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I flew into town last night. I was listening to your show this morning because we're thinking about hiring you. We had heard about you. And so I'm in town. You want to go have breakfast?" And that's how I ended up in Milwaukee. That actually happened to me back in 1979. You know, you never know who's listening. Grammys in Los Angeles on Sunday's date back in 1995. In 94, Dennis Miller played Washington University. He and I did not get along that night. He didn't understand who I was and why I was there and why I was emceeing and why I was doing things the way I was doing. And he just, his back went up, and I don't know, he had some sort of problem with what I was doing. You know, I emceed, oh my God, how many comedy shows between Westport and, you know, even this one at the WashU Fieldhouse, just, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of times working with the best comedians there are, even people who are not always, you know, the easiest to get along with, you know, like the George Carlins of the world and Roseanne Barr. So it's not like I'm some stooge out there. I knew what I was doing, but Dennis Miller, for whatever reason, he's the only guy I ever had trouble with. The only guy I ever had trouble with. Sting played St. Louis for the first of two nights back on Sunday's date in 1988. And this is one of my favorite stories from 1993. So I had been at 93.7 KSD, the classic rock station, for something like 5 years. And by now, most people have sniffed out the story of why I left that radio station. And, you know, we were at an all-times rating and revenue peak. We were number one 18 to 34 adults. We were number one 25 to 54 adults. And by a lot. And I was being paid a buttload of money, and then all of a sudden one day I just wasn't there anymore. So I was sitting out the non-compete, and that was just about to run out, but I was still doing television. And the people at Channel 4 said, "We got an idea. What we would like you to do is fly to New York and interview a bunch of people from 60 Minutes and West 57th, which was the magazine show that was on, I want to say, like on Tuesday night or something. And, you know, just anybody else is sort of hanging around. Oh, that's right. Wait, Viacom. Viacom also owns MTV. Can you go interview some of the MTV people?" So, you know, send there for like a week and just interview all these people and then bring the stuff back and we'll run it here on Channel 4. And I said, "That's fantastic. That's a great idea." So we lined up all these interviews with Andy Rooney and Steve Croft and Morley Safer. And then we were MTV, Kurt Loder, a couple of other people. Kurt Loder was the news guy. He was 47 at the time, and this was 93. I think Kennedy was hanging around. Geraldo was right across the street. So we went over and we interviewed him, too. I got to sit right on the set of the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather. I was not looking forward to the conversation with Dan Rather because irascible is one of the terms that I've heard in the past to describe him. But this is when he was doing the CBS Evening News. You would not have found a more friendly, accommodating, congenial, cooperative, and funny guy. He was great. I was like, finished the interview and was still scratching my head. Now it's time to go upstairs to Andy Rooney. I'm like, well, I can't be lucky two times in a row because Andy Rooney's another one of those guys who had, let us say, a reputation. So I go up there, and he was fantastic, too. Couldn't be nicer, friendlier, fun, the whole thing. Takes me around. He's showing me the facility. Introduced me to Don Hewitt, the legendary producer of 60 Minutes. Just had a wonderful time up there. Everybody was great. It was a terrific trip. But on the plane ride there to New York on this date back in 1993, I'm sitting on the plane, and I had worked in Buffalo, New York before St. Louis. And while I was there, I was working at the rock station, but across the hallway was the guy running the AM station, and his name was Tom. And Tom was a great guy. We got along. He used to do the all-night show, so our paths would cross in the morning. He'd be sort of wrapping things up, getting ready to go home, and I would be coming in, getting ready to do the morning show on the rock station. And he was just a nice guy, and we got along. Well, lo and behold, he becomes the new program director of KMOX. And I think I'd sent him a note or something, you know, hey, congratulations, and let's go have lunch or something. And I think that was like maybe in September. And then this, of course, was in February. So who's sitting behind me on the plane? Tom. Also, Rod Zimmerman, the new general manager who had succeeded Bob Hyland after he tanked. And this guy, they bring this guy in, and he's a hatchet man. His job was just to come in and clean the place up and slash all of the non-essential items and people that were on the payroll. And I knew this, but they're, you know, they're sitting behind me, and we're talking almost the entire flight. I'm standing in the aisle, blocking the aisle the whole time, and we're just having really pleasant conversation, and that was it. And then the plane landed, and they went their way, and I went my way, and that was the end of things. So I do all these interviews and everything in New York for the entire week. I fly back to St. Louis, and a couple of weeks later, Tom, the new program director at KMOX, calls me up and says, hey, you know, we've been talking about having lunch. Why don't you meet me across the street at the Adams Mark? We'll go have lunch. I'm like, absolutely, because I'm downstairs at Channel 4, and I'm like, this is great, sure. So I meet Tom across the street at the Adams Mark, and we're laughing, having a good time. We're telling old war stories about Buffalo and everything, and, you know, we're pretty far into the conversation, and at one point, Tom just says to me, well, how would you feel about coming over? I was like, oh, I'll come over whenever you want. What, you know, where are you guys living? He's like, no, I don't mean that. I'm like, what do you mean? He says, come over to KMOX. I started laughing because I said, are you crazy? Number two, have you run this past anybody at KMOX, like your brand new boss or anything like that? Yeah, everybody's on board. They're looking at your ratings. The ratings were ridiculous, just absolutely absurd ratings. And everybody's like, well, you know, I don't care what kind of trouble he had at 93.7 KSD. We heard that it was, you know, that you were having to deal with some employees there involving drugs and a lot of double timing and backstabbing and people you couldn't trust. And that, so that's pretty accurate. That's, matter of fact, that is accurate. How'd you even know about that? He's like, well, you know, we don't care about that. Your ratings are absolutely ridiculous. We'd like you to come over to KMOX. All right, long story made short. There were, you know, a series of negotiations and the whole thing. And, you know, people who have been listening to me on the radio and on the podcast for years, you know, that one of my pet peeves is when somebody says, tomorrow is going to be a news conference. The New York Yankees are going to announce the retirement of Derek Jeter. I'm like, okay, great. Now I don't have to watch the news conference because you just told me what the news conference is for. In the old days, they'd say, we're having a news conference tomorrow. You didn't know why. It doesn't happen that much anymore. The last one I can really remember was when Obama had the news conference. Well, it wasn't even a news conference. It was a speech on a Sunday night in prime time. And people were running around going, I don't know what it could be. What it could be. Do you have any idea? What, you know, why is Obama having a news conference on a Sunday night? What could it be? And he walks out and just shocks the world by saying, we killed Osama bin Laden. So in this particular case, the brass at KMOX does all of this stuff, you know, behind the scenes. Nobody knows what's going on. Nobody has any idea what's happening. And they call a news conference. It's like 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, a weekday afternoon. And they're like, we're going to have a major programming announcement. And so I'm peeking around the corner. Nobody has any idea what this thing is. And there must have been 20, 25 people in the room. Post-Dispatch reporters were there. Suburban journals, I'm sure the Bugle sent somebody. All the TV stations were there. All the cameras were running. You can hear the buzz out there in the room with people going, what's going on? What is this going to be? You know, people are just, there's this murmur of anticipation. And then I walk out with the management of KMOX. And you can just hear the jaws dropping and hitting the floor one after another. Boom, boom, boom. And they make the announcement that I'm the new afternoon guy. at KMOX. And when the story was reported, it was reported sort of fun. People seemed to be having fun with it. Even when they ran the piece on Channel 4, Larry Connors was smiling, you know, like, this is going to be amazing. One way or the other, it's going to be amazing. Well, it was for a couple of days. But as I said, it was February 24th, 1993, and I wasn't supposed to do my first show for almost 4 weeks later. And in that four-week period, KMOX received 800 letters. This is before email, obviously. It's 93. 800 letters from people. And by the way, I read every single one. I read every single one. I wanted to see what these people's problems were. And one of the things I noticed is that a lot of the letters were signed by people who had names that hadn't been assigned to human beings in like 70 years. You know, people like Biddy Tibbler, guys with the first name Elmer, that sort of stuff. And a lot of them were written on greeting cards, if you can believe this. And it was the kind of thing where they run out of space, so they turn the card over, and they start writing on the back, and then they run out of space there, and then they start writing up the side of the card. And I'm reading this stuff going, man, oh, man. So now, by the time I'm scheduled to do my very first show on March 15th, 1993, the management there had already given me an entire list of stuff that I couldn't talk about. Now go in there and have fun. One of the other problems was there was some kid who was just sort of floating around there at the station. I don't know, it was some sort of intern or something. I guess he was somebody's friend or somebody's kid or something. And they're like, we would really like him to be your producer. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to walk in there and appear that I'm not cooperative. So against my better judgment, I say yes. Nightmare. Nightmare. Kid has no idea what he's doing. He has no experience. He does not get what's going on any level, and the show was on from 3 until 6 every day. And I noticed that right at 6 o'clock, he would just barrel out of the building like the building was on fire, and I always wondered where he went. I asked him one day, and what he did every day, this is really sad, he would run across the street to the Adams Mark for the final few minutes of this thing where they had the hors d'oeuvres were free. So you could get, like, you know, little crab rangoons and pigs in a blanket, I guess, you know, cookies and things like that. And he was living off of this, running across the street to the Adams Mark, catching like the last 5 minutes of the free hors d'oeuvres when we finally got rid of him. Then I remember thinking, I want to get the screen test thing. Remember when I used to do screen tests? You'd ask a movie about, you'd ask a question about movies or TV. And then people would answer, and then you give them some free movie tickets, and then your name was registered for a drawing at the end of the month for a bigger prize. So, of course, at the time, KMOX was owned by CBS, and it turned out this thing had to go through, like, an entire gauntlet of lawyers before I could give away a fucking pair of movie passes. So that took almost 2 months just to get that approved, just to give away a couple of pairs of fucking movie passes every day. And then one day I got into work. And the vice president and general manager of KMOX, Rod Zimmerman, was waiting for me. JC, come in here. Closes the door. Oh, Jesus, here we go. What now? And to make a very long story short, and this is where it gets really weird. Really weird. All right. I start getting all of these calls all hours of the day and night on my landline at my house. It was an unlisted number. I had to pay extra for that, by the way. I saved the phone company, Inc., by not having to print my number, but somehow I got charged more. But that's another story. So very few people had my phone number, especially my landline. So who's calling me all hours of the day and night and hanging up? I have no idea. Now, I get a phone call from a lovely gal by the name of Judy. Judy is a gal that I dated in the 80s and then again a little bit in the 90s. And then I got married. We sort of went our separate ways. I would see her occasionally. A very, very pretty gal, model. And the phone rings. And it's Judy. And I talked to her. And I went, oh, Judy, congratulations, by the way. I saw that you got engaged. You're getting married. Because she, at the time, was engaged to August the 4th. And in the middle of me congratulating her on her engagement to August the 4th, she just cuts me off and goes, JC, he's crazy. He's crazy. I'm like, your fiance? He's like, yeah, he's crazy. He found out that you and I had dated, and he just lost his shit. He lost his mind. I go, you know, that's interesting, Judy, because in the last couple of weeks, I've been getting all these calls in the middle of the day, the middle of the night, and hang. She goes, it's him. I'm standing right next to him when he does it. It's him. Now, why anybody would lose their shit over the fact that his fiance at one point had dated me, I don't know. But I, like I said, I go into this meeting at KMYX, the door closes, and the general manager says, do you have a problem with August the 4th or anybody at Anheuser-Busch? And I'm like, oh, God, here we go. Apparently, he called up the station and threatened to cancel all of Anheuser-Busch advertising at KMOX because of my presence. So can you understand how difficult it is when you're me and now you're sitting in a room with your boss and you're trying to explain that one of the radio station's largest advertisers has a guy who's calling me and hanging up like we're in high school and he has lost his shit because his current fiance had once dated me and now he's making all these threats and I'm trying to explain this. They're looking at me like I'm nuts. Remember I was telling you about my friend Tom from Buffalo? Well, he's the program director. He's sitting right there, and he's just got his, he's got his face in his hands. There's nothing he can do. To be honest with you, if I were sitting behind that desk, I'm not sure I would have believed me either. That was exacerbated by the fact that Ann Keefe had gone around the entire radio station and coerced everybody into not speaking to me. So I'd walk around the station, good morning, hi, how are you? Nothing. I was on an elevator once with Bob Hardy going down, and I'm like, you know, hi, Bob, blah, 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 this and this, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you know, I was driving past your house the other day. He lived in Marine, Illinois, and we used to go to this fried chicken place that was not far from there, and you'd go down the street, and you go, well, there's the Corvette. That's got to be his house. Nothing, nothing. Does not speak to me. And there were quite a few people there in my time at KMOX who never acknowledged my presence, never spoke to me once. There were people who were wonderful. Bob Hamilton was a great guy. There's a gal named Kathy Hartley, did the news. She was wonderful. Ron Jacober could not have been nicer to me. Ron was just great. And he thought what was going on was bullshit. And then, you know, swirling around in the middle of all of this is the Branch Davidian fire. Remember David Koresh? And he's out there in Texas. And the day the thing went up and caught fire, Rod Zimmerman, the general manager of KMX, came and pulled me off the air and put Nan Wyatt on. Now, Nan and I were friends. We got along great. She felt terrible they were doing this. But Rod Zimmerman was basically saying, you don't have the chops to be able to handle this. And he pulled me off my own show. I wonder how he felt listening to our 9/11 coverage. That's another story. So now somebody comes walking in a couple of days later with a copy of the current issue of U.S. News and World Report. And in there is this picture and a big, long interview with Ann Keefe at KMOX talking about how, basically, radio is being ruined by people like me. Then a real dipstick in St. Louis who was writing for the St. Louis Business Journal, a guy by the name of Howard Lerner. Howard Lerner, who, by the way, was really serious about journalism because he's the guy who one day walked into the Business Journal and said, I quit because I'm opening this coffee chain by the name of Caldi's. I'm glad I don't drink coffee. Never got a dime out of me. But he calls me up and he's like, well, you know, what do you think about all this? Ann Keefe is trashing you on Donnybrook and in U.S. News and World Report. And anybody who basically will listen, she's trashing you. I'm just like, I didn't know what to say or what to do. And I'm just trying to diffuse the whole thing. And so I make a joke and I'm like, you know, my relationship with Ann Keefe is sort of like the relationship Jethro had with Granny. I think it's pretty funny. Self-deprecating. Guess who didn't see it that way? The management at KMOX. You called Ann Keefe Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies. And I was like, yeah, and I called myself Jethro. Do you not get what? No, I just got cut off. At that point, they were just looking for a way out. And pretty frankly, I was too. So 53 illustrious shows at the 50,000-watt clear channel voice of Del Mar Gardens.
KMOX Radio News Time, 3:07, and now a statement from CBS Regional Vice President Rod Zimmerman, General Manager of KMOX Radio.
I wanted to let the KMOX audience hear the news from me. J.C. Corcoran is no longer employed at KMOX. When Mr. Corcoran joined the station a few months ago, I hoped he'd be able to channel his talents as a member of the formidable KMOX broadcast team. But now it's apparent to me that my decision was incorrect. I feel, however, that correcting the situation as soon as possible is the best way to achieve our goals.
I'll tell you something else about my 53 shows at KMOX. They were fantastic. We were doing great work. We had some tremendous interviews, some great segments. People were like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. I remember Wendy Weiss coming to me once and pulling me aside, and we had had Kathleen Madigan in the studio. This was when Kathleen's, and everybody knows the stand-up comedian from St. Louis, and her career was just starting to take off. And so we had her come in and she did almost an entire hour with us. And it was very unusual for Cam, again, you got to remember, this is 30 years ago, and very unusual for KMOX to have done something like this. And people were like, this is exactly what this radio station needs. First of all, the idea of even doing it. And second of all, doing it as well as you did. A couple of the engineers who had been with the station for, you know, 100 years, who had worked with Jack Carney back in the day, came to me and said, you know, some of the stuff you're doing is as good as, you know, the Jack, and again, Jack Carney was a god around there. And they're like, this stuff you're doing is as good as what Carney did. I mean, in their world, that was a compliment. It wasn't to me, but I understood what they were trying to say. I have to tell you something. Over the last 13 years, since we parted ways with K-Hits Radio, I did a lot of interviewing all over the country for radio jobs. And in big cities like Chicago, Atlanta, Tampa, Denver, San Diego, Houston, you know, big cities, big cities. And invariably, you'd be sitting there and they would ask about the sort of rocky nature of my career. And I would explain this. I would tell them the whole stuff. And they'd say, well, you know, you said this and this and this. And I'm like, yeah. They go, well, what was the big deal? I'm like, there was no big deal. That's just it. And they sort of shake their heads. In other words, what they're saying is, what you said or what you did or what got you in trouble or what got you suspended or what resulted in some sort of alleged black mark on your career, that would barely have moved the meter here in a place like, you know, Houston or Chicago or whatever. And they're just looking like, what? I'm like, well, it's sort of St. Louis. And I know that sounds like I'm blaming everything that ever happened on somebody else. And that's not what I'm doing, because I've screwed stuff up. I just don't talk about it a lot. You learn so much more from your mistakes than your successes. And, you know, you just go, okay, I fucked that up. I won't do that again. And I learn from it. And you sort of move on. I think it's a really bad thing to dwell on mistakes. You learn from them. And then you move on. You say, okay, I won't do that again. But, you know, just think about it. Think about it. Listen to radio in St. Louis right now. And tell me that there's anything on the air that even approached what we did for, well, about 36 years that I was there. But, you know, we're coming back. It'd be a little different situation. The job description for the new radio station, which, you know, I'm just sitting here every time the phone rings, I jump about a foot and a half in the air because I think maybe this is the call that tells me that we're getting ready to turn the signal on in St. Louis County at 101.5 to go along with the 101.7 out on the Westplex. That call has not come yet, but I'm told it could come at any time. Like the old joke, why do you keep banging your head against the wall? The answer is because it feels so good when I stop. And it's been stopped for 13 and a half years, but I'm getting ready to go back and start in a flailing attempt to achieve broadcast excellence. We're going to go start banging our head against the wall again very, very soon. All right, a couple of quick notes here. Could be another Wayne's World sequel on the way. They're talking about it. Aaron Rodgers has emerged from his sensory deprivation tank, which means that presumably we're going to get some sort of decision from him on what he's going to do. I'm really looking for, you know, I've told you, Christoph Waltz, for me, is one of the most exciting actors working these days. And he's got a new series on Amazon starting today, and it's called The Consultant. And I can't wait to see it. Also, there's this thing with Eugene Levy, who is, it's called The Reluctant Traveler, and it is exactly that. It's on Apple TV. He travels the world to step outside his comfort zone. Woody Harrelson, who is another tremendous actor, by the way, he is so good in so many movies you probably haven't seen. I could recommend some off-the-beaten-path movies where Woody Harrelson has just knocked it out of the park. The guy's amazing. He'll be hosting Saturday Night Live this weekend. George Harrison would have been 80 years old this weekend. Harold Ramis died 9 years ago. He was a wonderful guy. A wonderful guy. Had a hand in one way or another with Ghostbusters, Animal House, Meatballs, Stripes, Caddyshack, National Lampoon Vacation, Groundhog Day, Analyze This, and that's not even everything. And today is World Bartender Day. Bartenders everywhere are celebrating by pretending to be interested in the 40-minute soliloquy you give at the bar about the time you almost won the state football championship. And with that, the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, February 24, 2023 is in the can, 34 days until opening day. We are here every weekday morning right about 11 o'clock. We moved the publish time of the podcast to accommodate my new morning radio show, which, as I just mentioned, should be debuting any day now. 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 Any day. I'm sorry. I thought we'd be on the air by now. It's soon. That's all I can tell you. I know it's going to be soon. And you won't miss anything. Don't worry. We will let you know. All right. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you Monday. Spread the word, please, that we're here at jconline.com. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.